So turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and I begin with the first verse. So 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 1. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. And this will be the last on our studies on the kings of Judah. And we come to the end of Judah because we would be discussing their end when they will finally be taken to captivity. And so we're thinking of Judah's end, and here we have our tests of true submission to God's word. There are tests of whether we are genuinely submissive to God's word. And we'll see that in these last three kings. Remember the last time we had spoken about Josiah, who was the last godly king, because right after him, there was no godly king. The land began to decline and went down and down until eventually the Lord sent Nebuchadnezzar to come to carry them to captivity. They will not repent nor turn to the Lord. Now, we remember how Josiah was strangely taken away. It shows how God's ways are mysterious. He was a godly man, and yet the Lord left him. The Lord left him to make that poor decision to go to war against Pharaoh Necho. And in that process, he took him out of this world. As the prophet Isaiah said, that sometimes the Lord takes away the righteous in order to spare them the troubles that are to come. Indeed, in the case of Judah, this is very clear, because after him there was so much disaster and eventually the destruction of Judah. But we want to very quickly focus on Zedekiah because he's the last king. But just a little about the others that came before him. First was Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah. We are told that he was an evil king, and it was the king of Egypt that came to take him away. Because remember at this time, Egypt was very strong. It was the Egyptians, the Necho, who had killed Josiah. And it was that struggle because there's the rising of Babylon. Assyria was going down and Babylon was rising. It was a city of its own, and now their kings are becoming more powerful and influential. And so Assyria was losing her grip over the world stage, and Babylon was coming. And so it became a tussle between them and Egypt in the south. And Egypt Necho came to humiliate Jehoahaz and took him to Egypt. And then his brother, we are told in verse 5, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 15 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil. So he was the one, we are told that he's actually Jehoiakim, and Egypt changed his name. Now he, because he was under the rule of the Egyptians, he didn't want to submit to Babylon. For you gather that from the narrative, he didn't want to submit to Babylon. Even though, and I'll be turning to that passage shortly, even though Jeremiah had gone round to the nations, we'll shift very quickly to Jeremiah, gone round to the nations around to tell them, bow to Babylon, submit to Babylon to live. And Jehoiakim, as well as Zedekiah, the record seems to suggest that Jeremiah had started in the days of Jehoiakim, and all the way down he had been challenging the kings to do that, but they would not listen to him. So Jehoiakim, after 3 years, he had Babylon come upon him, and they took him captive also. Look at verse 6. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried. So this is the first deportation. When they were being taken to Babylon, it happened in three separate deportations. The first one under Jehoiakim, the second under Jehoiachin, and then Zedekiah. So in these three stages, the people of Judah were taken to Babylon in those stages. So right after him then, Jehoiachin was king. Verse 9, Jehoiachin was 8 years old. Now, 2 Kings tells us that he was actually 18. But Chronicles tells us 8. Now, this may not be a confusion at all. We've been explaining sometimes it's not always easy to fit in these dates well, because the scriptures was not written to primarily fit in these dates, even though whenever you study them very well, you will get them properly right. But sometimes it doesn't give us all the information. So it seemed that what had happened, that he would have co-reigned with Jehoiakim when he was 8. And so he actually became king himself when he was 18. So he would have been there. After all, Jehoiakim was king for 11 years. So he would have been with him. And then when he was actually 18, he became king himself. But he didn't reign for long. He reigned for only 3 months and 10 days, we are told. In verse 9, Jehoiachin was, he's the one that's also called Konia. If you meet that name in the prophet Jeremiah, it's the same man, Konia, or sometimes Jeconiah. It's the same person. That is called, and it's easy sometimes to see from the context. Now, Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then he too suffered under Nebuchadnezzar, and when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with a goodly vessel. So every time they come, they take something from the house of the Lord also. And so they don't take only the king, they take some people with him, the people in his court, and some of the strong people in the city, and with some other items, and they take them away. So Zedekiah reigns. We will spend time now on Zedekiah. So verse 11. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He also did evil, all the others. So watch there, verse 12. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. I'm sure you know that Jeremiah had been called the weeping prophet. He was one of the prophets that he didn't seem to have had any success in his ministry, because nobody listened to him. And all the threatenings that he prophesied about had to come to pass. So we saw him weeping a number of times. Of course, the Holy Spirit led him also to write the book of Lamentation, which was really a kind of a sorrowful record and message. Now, Zedekiah would not listen to Jeremiah. And we want to explore that a little, because we are given so much information about that in the book of Jeremiah. And so we'll go there shortly. And we would see how many times Jeremiah tried very earnestly to persuade Zedekiah to listen to his message, and so as to spare himself and the land. And yet Zedekiah wouldn't do that, because Zedekiah was a very fickle person. He would sometimes listen to Jeremiah, other times he would listen to the important persons in the city. And so he was influenced every now and then, every time, so that he would not listen at all. And in the process, we'll be stressing also the amazing steadfastness of Jeremiah. That in the midst of that rejection, in the midst of the fact that he was a lone voice at the time, he kept his ground and still represented the Lord even when no one was listening to him. You will see some of the trials he had to bear in the process. And so please, sir, let's go to the book of Jeremiah now, because we'll be exploring a number of the events there which has to do with the days of Zedekiah. We start with chapter 27, Jeremiah chapter 27. We'll be jumping, because of all those records really have from this point on Jeremiah, they are not necessarily, the events that is recorded are not necessarily chronological. They're not necessarily following the events one after the other. It's simply according to the message, because you hear that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and he proclaimed it. So that's just how it is there. So some of the things that, but I will not spend time to trying to show which came first or whatever. We just want to pick up the message, because so that we save ourselves some time. So chapter 27, Jeremiah chapter 27, and look at Jeremiah's message. And this is a very unpopular message. Listen to this. Jeremiah 27, verses 1. From verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and sent them so the man himself should put these bonds and yokes upon his own neck as a kind of a symbolism, and sent them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyros, which would be in Syria, Tyros, and to the king of Zidon, toward the north there, by the hand of the, this would be the Phoenician cities, Tyros and Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. Now there's something that seems a very a difficulty here. In a Bible study, we try to resolve some of them so that in future when you're reading, you may not face them. You see that we are told, right in verse 1, that the Lord gave this message to Jeremiah at the beginning of Jehoiakim. Meanwhile, we are told in verse 4, is it verse 4? No, verse 3. And sent them to the king of Edom, after mentioning those names, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. It starts with Jehoiakim and then it ends in Zedekiah. Meanwhile, there's an 11-year gap between them. It's not easy to resolve, but one of the possible answers is that, as we're saying, Jeremiah would have delivered this message that we're coming to read from the days of Jehoiakim, and then every now and then I proclaimed it, so he would have proclaimed it to Jehoiachin also, and then all the way to Zedekiah, you see. And so that seems to be the best answer to that, because there's this 11-year gap, and yet Jeremiah is saying that the thing that he was doing, having this yoke on his neck, he had done that for 11 years. And that certainly, he would have paused, and then when another king came, he would have gone to him. But this time, it was to the other kings all around, Edom, Moab, Ammon, and then to the Phoenicians in the north. And so all of them, this is the instruction, this is the command of the Lord, verse 4, and command them to say unto their masters, so the messengers, tell the messengers to go and tell their masters, the kings, that saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, that shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power, and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. On him, many nations will also rebel against him, and take advantage of him. So until then, all must submit to him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with a sword, and with a famine, and with a pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. You see how unpopular this message is? So Judah, Nebuchadnezzar is coming, submit to him. Don't fight him. Be his servant. Go and put your necks under his yoke, and that will be your safety. And this made Jeremiah extremely unpopular. And he would carry this message through again and again and again, as we are told, beginning from Jehoiakim's time all the way. Now, one of the questions that come up is this: why will the Lord so yield his own people to a heathen king? And some of you may remember that was the argument of the book of Habakkuk. When Habakkuk was complaining about the wickedness of his land, God's answer was, don't worry, Habakkuk, I'm going to punish this land. I'm going to punish the people of Israel by Babylon. And then Habakkuk says, oh, Lord, why do you do that? Why do you choose someone who is even worse to punish that who is a little better? Israel is better if you were to compare them to Babylon. Why use Babylon, which is so terrible, to punish Israel? And then God said, okay, well, I will also punish Babylon too. But in the meantime, I'm going to use him to punish my own people. These are some of God's strange ways. But he's a judge. That's how he introduced himself, as a judge of all the earth. And he gives the lamb to whomever he chooses. You cannot ask him why. And it was supposed to teach Israel humility. That if you will not submit to the Lord, if you will sin against the Lord, the Lord may lead you into that state where the alternatives that will be available to you will be equally painful. You don't want to submit to me, the Lord seems to say. Well, I will let you submit to Babylon. You don't like that. You don't like that. You don't wish ever to do that. You wish to feel your independence and say that we are the Lord's people. But because you are living in disobedience, I will let you be submissive to the Babylonians. And friends, I'm stressing this because there's a lesson there for us. It's one of the reasons why sometimes it may be as a result of sin, sometimes it may be as a result of poor decision-making processes as Christians, and we land ourselves into very sad conditions. And then the solution to their problem will require further humiliation. I have to humble myself and accept a painful, sad condition until the Lord removed it. Because the alternative would be disobedience to the Lord. The alternative here, you go to submit to Babylon. It doesn't seem pleasant, but the opposite is to rebel against Jeremiah. Say, we will listen to you, and that's what they did. They wouldn't listen to him. It reminds me, years ago I knew a young lady. The times we knew her, she was seemed to be very earnest in seeking the Lord. She was a young person from the Sunday school back in Cape Coast. And she seemed to be very earnest in seeking the Lord. And for some reason, very sadly, because I was speaking to her fairly frequently because she had all these spiritual questions and inquiries. And for some reason, she slipped back and lost interest in all that. And then after a while, even stopped coming to church. And then we heard that she's gotten married. And then after a while in the marriage, it seems that things have shaken her up again. And then she came back, at this time, more earnest of the Lord, and became converted, genuinely converted. But, you see, what do you do with a man? And so I remember recently she came to me and said, tell me some of the challenges he has with her man. And I had to tell her, it's very sad, but scripture's rule is this. As long as the man doesn't want to go, you cannot put him away. Now, it's the man that must decide whether you stay or not stay. If he wants to marry, you can't say, of course, unless there's some physical violence, that's different. But apart from that, you have to. You took that decision, and now the consequences, you must live with it. It's humbling, it's painful. Sometimes you think it's hindering your spiritual life, but the alternative of breaking up doesn't come in. And we have to be careful, therefore, that's why decision making has to be so carefully done, dear brethren. You can find yourself so cornered that if the Lord doesn't help you to maintain humility, the alternative that will seem a solution will be in disobedience to the Lord. And yet we would not want to choose that, do we? So, this was the message, and nobody liked it, as I said. Jeremiah became very unpopular. In fact, he went ahead to speak more directly to Zedekiah. Look at verse 12. I speak also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. If Jeremiah was a motivational preacher, I think he would have, nobody would have gone to his meetings. No one would give him a tithe. That would be a poor one. So, now, so he went to Zedekiah straight on to say, bring your neck under Babylon. And of course, as I said, nobody liked that. And somebody came to publicly contradict Jeremiah. Chapter 28, verse 1. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests, And of all the people saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. So, contradicting Jeremiah, don't worry at all, I've broken the yoke. Within 2 years, all the first two deportees will all be brought back. And so Jeremiah, you are not correct. You are wrong. This is public. He faced him at the house of the Lord. And listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah responded to him. This part is so interesting. Look at chapter verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hanan, look at how all of them are being called prophets. Is that not amazing? In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, there's no good prophet ever mentioned. All the prophets referred to in the book of Jeremiah are false. He never makes reference of one good prophet. But verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what actually the Lord is saying. Nevertheless, hear thou now the word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesy both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. You see what Jeremiah is saying? Well, don't be put off merely because my message is negative. God's prophets have sometimes in the past prophesied negative things, war, pestilence, things like that. There's also been messages of peace. It is the fulfillment that shows whether a prophet is of the Lord or not. If a person prophesied peace and it came to pass, then we know he's from the Lord. If he prophesied pestilence and it came to pass, we know he's of the Lord. Now, Jeremiah is going to now give him, this false prophet, his message. And now, Hananiah challenges him again. In fact, by taking the yoke, remember this time Jeremiah was bearing that yoke as a picture to them that they are under yoke. He took the yoke from Jeremiah's shoulders and broke it to represent his message. The yoke is broken. Jeremiah is still wearing his, showing that you are still on the yoke. He took it, breaks it to show the world the yoke is broken, because within 2 years everything will be settled. Then Jeremiah told him this. And this is interesting. Verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. After that, Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. It's even going to be worse than that. Let me jump that, and this is one of the helpful things the Lord does. Verse 15. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because I will cast thee from off the face of the earth, this year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the people. So Hananiah, the prophet, died the same year in the seventh month. You know why this is important? My dear friends, this is, you know, permit me as a preacher, I love passages like this. You know why? Because I can tell you sometimes the heart of a preacher, the heart of a pastor. Sometimes you are teaching a truth from God's word. And sadly, it happens. Our church officers must bear this in mind. You may find a person or two that decide to go right against those counsels, to do what they want, exactly against everything you are trying to show. And it can hit you back, because it makes you ask yourself, what was I really teaching God's word? Was it true? This person seems to contradict all that I'm saying, and the results seem to seem fair and good for them. Was I really teaching God's word? And my dear friend, this is what God does a number of times. He confirms His own word. He confirms it in a way that proves the truthfulness of His word. And this is the effect on the preacher or anyone, a Christian that may be representing the Lord in that office or things like that. The effect is this: it deepens your faith in God's word. Your sense of certainty grows strong. And as we go on, you will realize, because one of the things that you'll be asking yourself, how could Jeremiah be so certain when everybody was against him? How could he be so firm when he's been beaten and things like this? He had proved the law. He had proved the law fulfilled his word. And so you cannot shake him out of that. My dear friends, that's what we need to truly submit to God's word. Otherwise, you may seem to submit to God's word because, well, it seems easy now. When it becomes very critical, and submission to God's word may mean a loss or something, you may shy away because you wouldn't like that. My dear friends, and that's no Christian obedience. You see, the Lord wants obedience first, and then He confirms His word in our hearts to encourage us and to deepen us. And so, friends, so here is the Lord's confirmation for Jeremiah, and then also for the people, to at least take Jeremiah seriously. But would they take Jeremiah seriously? No, they wouldn't. These were so hardened people. Miracles themselves, without the enabling work of the Spirit of the Lord, never blesses anyone. Never humbles anybody. People will have other ways of explaining all manner of things without necessarily humbling themselves to God's word. Now, Jeremiah is, Jeremiah was so confident. Right after that, he himself writes a letter to those in captivity. He wrote them a letter to say, some false prophets have arisen among us. In chapter 20, now I want to skip that, so I'm just mentioning that to you. Some false prophets have come to you to say that very soon you'll be coming home. So only 2 years that you'll be coming home. But this is the word of the Lord to you. Maybe that's the two places that says that. This is what God said: settle down in that country, build houses, marry, raise families, because you're going to be there for a long time. It isn't pleasant at all. They want to go back home. And so, if it even said this, that I even pray for the peace of the nation, because they've been living there for some time. So there can be peace in the nation, we can also have peace in that country. So don't listen to any of those persons that say, Nathan, you'll soon be coming back home, because he won't come home anytime soon, until the Lord himself fulfills his purposes. And so, once again, this was not pleasant to people, so Jeremiah was imprisoned. And that's in chapter 32. Let me read you that, because he was imprisoned now. And Zedekiah the king was the one that did it, that led the way. Chapter 32. And the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year, remember he reigned for 11 years, so just about a year to his downfall that this happened. The 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut in the court of the prison. He's been put in prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. So it's a kind of a house arrest for Jeremiah. Only it's not his own house, but the king's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, has shut him up, that's imprisoned him, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. In other words, you, Jeremiah, you are saying, I, Zedekiah, will be taken captive so that I'll go and see Nebuchadnezzar face to face. So in other words, I'll be taken captive. Why have you said that? And so he put him in prison, verse 5. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. The Chaldeans have come to besiege Jerusalem, surrounded it. And Zedekiah was trying to raise an army to go and fight them. And Jeremiah is saying, it's hopeless. Don't do it. Because you won't win. God is determined to give the city over, and imprisoned him for saying that, because they wanted somebody that would boost morale for war, and not somebody that would so discourage the people like that. My dear friends, you see how we have to gradually see grace from the Lord. But the initial war struggle in this, not to be slaves to our instincts. We all have our instincts and our feelings that can so distract. And so we have to be so careful that we are not carried away by that. So that we strive by the grace of God to stick to what God's word says, rather than our instincts. You see, so we have to strive to rather listen to the word of the Lord rather than our instincts, because these things can so much happen, so that we shut our minds entirely to what God's word says. And that's what is happening to Zedekiah now. His instincts, they wish they can win, they wish they can overcome the Babylonians, and not really to submit to them. So we have to pray for grace that we don't fall into that, so that you are reading the book Constants for Guidance. It is that part that I think point two in the steps for guidance that Dr. Matthews mentions, that we often call the clearing the decks. We say that if you want to seek guidance of the Lord, make sure you've not made up your mind already. You've made up your mind and set your feelings already after the thing, and when you go to the Lord and say, "Lord, guide me," well, actually you are ridiculing, you are disregarding him. We must be those persons that sincerely go, willing to submit to him, not having made up our minds already. That's what Zedekiah is struggling with. So he could not take in what Jeremiah was saying. Don't fight the Babylonians, you won't win this war. God is giving the city to Babylon, submit to him, and he will spare you. And Zedekiah just cannot take this in. So he became angry now and put Jeremiah into prison because of that message. And so, my dear friends, this is quite sad. In fact, another interesting incident was this. These are Babylonians that besieged Jerusalem. And then within a short time, the Egyptians were coming to help Judah. And so when the Babylonians heard that the Egyptians were coming, they went away for a time. And so the people thought, now they're winning. Jeremiah was wrong. After all, the Babylonians are running away. And then please come with me to chapter 37. And again, very depressing message to somebody who wouldn't want to listen to the word of the Lord. Chapter 37 and verse 3. And Zedekiah, let me start from verse 1, please, just to make it clear. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah. That's Coniah that I mentioned. Jehoiachin, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. Verse 3. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." Now Jeremiah came in and out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. So you see, this precedes the first one, but it's recorded here. Then, listen to verse 5. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So he's not happy. He thinks that success is coming. He says, "I'm going to ask Jeremiah to pray for them so that the blessing is sealed, that perhaps the Babylonians would be finally conquered." Now listen to Jeremiah's answer, the word that the Lord gave him. Verse 6. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army which has come forth to help you shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye have smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet shall they rise up every man in his tent and burn the city with fire. What a depressing message. It's interesting. When people have been disobedient, and in their disobedience, something seemed to be going on well for them, then they have the courage even to think that, well, because things are going nice for them, God is pleased. And they can have the courage even asking their pastor, I think now things are working out. He's in a sinful relationship or something like this. And the best answer is he should break off, and he doesn't want to break off. And then there was first trouble, and things seem to be working. And he's now coming to ask for prayer. Pastor, please pray that now we have peace in the house. Who told you? Well, the answer was long written in the Bible. If you have peace, break off. And so the temporary peace that is coming is actually not from the Lord. They are not from the Lord. It's not the Lord's blessing. If I've gotten any gain or advantage by sin, and it seems to prosper, it isn't a blessing from the Lord. It will fall very soon. It will fail very soon. And these days, that's what people seem to be so ignorant of. Now, he's paid bribes to get a contract. And he's going to ask his pastor, pray for me. I'm only left with the last signature for the contract to go through. And I make a pledge. If the contract goes through my profit, I give the church not 10%, I give the church 50%. And the church organizes an all night to put for that. And so they think that, well, God will answer that. And yet nobody tells this person and inquire, who would have asked? I would have asked that person, are you sure you're not pushing through money? If you're pushing through money, God is out of question. God isn't part of that. If you trust in the Lord, you go sincere and you go genuine. Then you can be sure of his blessing. We seem to be so ignorant of these fundamentals. Anyways, it occurred. Even didn't know this. And so common, some people think that the other God is interested, is mention his name in it. Go to his church and ask for his blessing, then he's pleased. Whether you are using a questionable means or not, as long as you've been to his church and you're asking for his blessing over that, he's happy. Oh. What period of ignorance, friends. And so, Jeremiah had to be, and would there be pastors that would be so forthright like Jeremiah? Listen. This is what the Lord made me tell you some time ago. Bow to Babylon. Otherwise, you won't survive. If you wouldn't bow to them, there's no help for you. And so this seeming help that has come from Egypt, don't let that deceive you, because it is not going to last. Eventually, Egypt will go away and Babylon will come again. And in fact, Babylon did come again and eventually raised the city to the ground. And so, you see how they just could not submit to God's word. Dear friends, I trust that there's none of us who have been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who still find ourselves in that state. I just cannot submit to the Lord. I cannot submit to his word. That will be terrible. That will be a strong sign that there's no grace in the heart. I cannot submit and say, this is what God has said. We're not talking about a Christian that, David says, delights in it, longs for it, but struggles. Well, that's not what we're talking about. David knew that. I delight in thy law, O Lord. And yet he was aware that he failed sometimes too. A genuine Christian can fall into that. We're talking about that person that willfully sees it doesn't, determined not to submit to God's word, he cannot be a Christian. He cannot be a born again person. Because, of course, the grace of submission comes from the Lord. Now, because of time, Zedekiah is determined not to listen. Strangely, you know what he did? He went to Jeremiah in secret. All the messages that Jeremiah brings, he wouldn't listen. He went to Jeremiah in secret and inquired, "Tell me, Jeremiah, what's the Lord actually saying? He didn't say that in public." Chapter 37. I think in verse 17. Look at verse 17. 16. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, so you know, the bad treatment again, they put Jeremiah in a dungeon, and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. Listen to verse 7. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. So he showed Jeremiah favor. For what purpose? And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said unto the king Zedekiah, "What have I offended against thee, or against thy people, or against this people, that ye have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets, which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land?" And so now, he wanted a secret counsel, perhaps that if he showed him, he'd been put in prison, he takes him out, shows him that favor, perhaps Jeremiah would change his mind. It's always a painful thing, I think I've mentioned that to you, when a Christian sees that perhaps another Christian brother or sister is trying to use his kindness to buy the conscience of his brother or sister. It's always an offensive thing. It's an offense before the Lord. Our kindness must be so pure. That's when God blesses it. Our supportiveness for others might be so genuine. That's what God blesses. It is never intended to buy people's conscience. That's what Zedekiah sought to do. But Jeremiah stood his ground and told him again. Now, second time he did that again. And I think, look at that chapter, chapter 38. Look at that. Jeremiah has become so unpopular. I'm reading from verses 1 to a few verses here. Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pasha, and Jekal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pasha, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah has spoken unto all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given." So this is the message they have heard. And so, verse 4. Therefore, the princes said unto the king, "We beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt." You know that said again and again, faithful preachers have been accused rather to be those that are divisive. They are the ones that are dividing the Lord's people. And yet they are the ones that are telling everybody, "Here are the lines that show truth and falsehood." Our forefathers have been accused again and again of this kind of thing. Jeremiah does not seek the welfare of the people, because you see, they don't believe that the welfare of the people must come from the Lord. If people no longer believe that, then, you know, it was like what we were talking about last Sunday evening. If a person doesn't believe that it's the Lord who blesses, then he thinks that if he compromises to please a friend, then that becomes good, or that becomes nice. If he doesn't believe that it is the Lord that must bless, then he would not be concerned about letting that friendship honor the Lord. It is only when that friendship honors the Lord that the Lord blesses. If the Lord is displeased, there will be no blessing. If he doesn't truly believe this, then he wouldn't be that firm. And so Jeremiah is accused of being rather the one that is ruining the city, hurting the city. instead of being the one that is helping out. So they made this complaint to Zedekiah, and Zedekiah said, "Well, anyway, I don't know what to do with him. You do whatever you want with him." Zedekiah said that, and he got to Jeremiah and put him in a dry well. It was you have still mud in it, so you have mire in the well. They put him in, so the man was actually sinking in every day. It took a man called Ebed-Melech that went to the king and said that, "King, you know what they've done to Jeremiah? If we don't go and pull him out, he will die." And then, again, Zedekiah fickle, he hears this once, he goes there to hear, then he heard Ebed-Melech, and then Ebed-Melech got some people with him at the commandment of the king, then he got to get Jeremiah out from the pit. Once they got him out, Zedekiah thought that he can gain another favor from Jeremiah. He calls him secretly again. Look at verse 14. I'll jump over this, my dear friend, very soon. Verse 14. Then Zedekiah, the king, sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, "I will ask thee a thing. Hide nothing from me." Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, "If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me?" So Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord liveth, that made us his soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life." Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand." Again, Jeremiah would tell him the truth. My dear friends, this is the essence of Christian friendship. When those closest to us, dear friends, those closest to us, we strive for grace to set the same standards before them. And I challenge them to submit to the same thing. That's what it means to submit to God's word. You so submit to God's word that whether a person is close or far, you want to represent the same truth. Now, Zedekiah didn't listen. He said, "I'm afraid. When I went to the princes of the Babylonians, they would mishandle me." Jeremiah said, "No, they wouldn't. Go to them." And then he would not go. Eventually, the Babylonians broke the walls, came on the land, and then Zedekiah tried to run away in these chapters because of time. Tried to run away through one of the openings in the walls, and they caught him. And you know what they did to him? They killed all his children right in his presence, and then they gouged out his own eyes. And all that would have been averted if he had heeded to Jeremiah. The message was unpopular, but it was true. He would not submit because he would rather listen to his own instincts and bad counselors around. My dear friend, let me close with that. I'm not going to turn to the passage because that will take that time. But please, from this part of Jeremiah going, it's so beautiful and wonderful. I'm sure if you pick up reading them, you will not want to put them down. You know what happens? Babylon came to sweep over the land. At that time, it was sweeping all the countries in Palestine. And all those from Euphrates down to Egypt. The river Nile, he was conquering all the nations that was becoming a superpower at the time. So when he took off Zedekiah, he got a puppet prince, a puppet king, somebody to be there. He was called Gedaliah. He's a Jew. He put him there to be the ones to administer the weak person that had been left behind. It's that from chapter 41 in Jeremiah's book here. And then a man called Ishmael rose up and killed Gedaliah. He didn't like it that Gedaliah has aligned himself with the king of Babylon. So he went to kill Gedaliah, who had been put there by Babylon. And then got some of the persons there to run away to Ammon, cross over to the eastern part, to Ammon. And then another man called Johanan came up and pursued this Ishmael. And then when the people that were with Ishmael saw that Johanan was coming, they left Ishmael and then went to Johanan. So Ishmael and a few persons fled. And so Johanan came back. When they came back, they said, they were afraid of what would happen. They were afraid that they would incur the wrath of the king of Babylon. Because the king of Babylon would think that they are the ones who have risen up against the puppet king he puts there. He put a person there and he's been killed. Who did it? Well, you are there, so he pours anger upon you. So they decided to run away to Egypt. And here, friends, this is what I want to read, sort of begin to close. When this plan was in their heads, they came to Jeremiah and told him that he should seek the will of the Lord for them. Chapter 42. Look at this. Let me read you this. We have time to read this, but never mind. I hope I'm not going to overstate. Chapter 42. Listen to this. Then all the captains of the forces, Saint Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshea, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may go, and the thing that we may do. You see, they want them to be shown the will of the Lord. Where should they go? And Jeremiah told them to go, and in 10 days' time, come for the answer. After 10 days, come, and I will tell you what the Lord says. And so, come to verse 7. And it came to pass, after 10 days, that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if you will abide in this land, then will I build you, and not put you down, and I will plant you, and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil I have done unto you. And so that's the message, isn't it? So if you stay in this land, you'll be established. I'm jumping over just to save time. Look at verse 13. Jeremiah is still speaking. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord our God, your God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. Don't go to Egypt, because I can pursue you wherever you go. That is why a Christian doesn't just get up and say, I'm going to seek a greener pasture. This is so irresponsible for a Christian to do that. Where is your greener pasture? It's where the Lord places you. A Christian genuinely believes that. You remember what that's what Abraham said when he was asking Lot to select between the two places. He knew that wherever he was, if the Lord was with him, then the Lord will fulfill his purposes in his life. And so that was the warning. Don't go to Egypt. And they were saying, well, we don't want to hear about war. Too many wars here today, this year war, next day trumpets. We are all afraid. We want to run away. Just go and have a peaceful place somewhere to rest. And then there's no war at all. It's like somebody says, I'm having too much conflict in the church. This and that. Rather than being empowered to pray and trust the Lord to wrestle through to see victories. I just want to withdraw and just have my peace of mind elsewhere. Well, if you're a Christian, the Lord will make sure he pursues you. wherever you are, you wouldn't have that peace of mind. You were supposed to fight. You're not supposed to go and hide away to have any kind of peace. You're supposed to fight, see victories, and have your faith confirmed. That's what the Lord wanted things to be like. Now, these people, would they listen? Do you remember they themselves came and told Jeremiah, tell us the will of the Lord? Jeremiah done that. He told them, and listen to their message. When I read this and I'm done. Listen to the answer when Jeremiah told them this. Chapter 43. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshea, and Johanan the son of Kareah, he was a leader, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, your secretary, Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Egypt. And then what would Jeremiah gain? And so he said, Jeremiah, you are a liar. Your secretary has influenced you, so that you will deliver us to the Chaldeans. Well, of course, these two, they didn't listen. You know what they did? They forced Jeremiah. They took all the people, forced Jeremiah with them, and went to Egypt. And when they got there, then Jeremiah spoke to them and said, you see where we are? Very soon, Babylon will stretch its tents and it will reach one of its places. They didn't like that. Oh, my dear friend, I like these sections in Jeremiah. And the more you read, the more you pray, the Lord grants me that confidence in your word. So that should you be alone having to represent the Lord, you will see no fear and stand your ground. My dear friends, may we pray for a submissive heart. So that once you see what God's word says, you are willing to say, Lord, I believe. If I'm struggling, tell the Lord, help my unbelief. I want to rest my hopes upon your word. Now, even if everybody's contradicting that, you can't do other than act according to conscience. If you cannot truly believe what they are saying, don't do it. Don't follow it. That which the Lord has taught you now, cling to that, obey that. If there are more to be learned, he will teach us. Apostle Paul says that in Philippians 3. He will teach us. Look, can be established, my dear friend. May we prove the Lord to have certainty about his word is what means that you are maturing in faith. You are so certain of his truth, once you discover that, you are all desirous to obey it, to believe it, to embrace it, to live it, and to reflect it in your life. This is what it means to submit to the word of the Lord. And we will surely know his peace. And his blessing. May the Lord help each one of us, friends.